Got to give you guys a heads up, a little bit of a warning on this one, because I'm going to be sharing a word that a few people don't like. The word doesn't bother me, and the word is part of construction, to be very honest. So if you guys want, scroll past. Ignore it. Don't watch this one. You might be triggered. If you want to unfollow, unfollow. I gave you guys one more chance. That's it. Scroll away, man, because once I share this word, I share this word. Ladies and gents, I want to introduce you guys to my client is a cunt. My client is a cunt. This is a legitimate book. www.myclientisa.com. And I'm 1,000% endorsing this. This is the book that tradespeople need. They need to read it and they need to listen to it because it comes in audio. I agree with every single word shared in 262 pages. The word cunt is shared in this book 400 times. If you're offended, you're offended. The scenarios that are shared in this book will feel so familiar. I'm telling you right now, they're going to be like, I've gone through that shit. This book is the voice of every single tradesperson that's been on site that they wish they had. The most brutally honest construction book ever written about clients, boundaries, money, and protecting your craft, and most importantly, protecting your sanity. Most tradespeople don't buy books. I get it. Tradespeople buy permission to feel seen, to feel respected, to feel understood. This book gives them that and more. Check it out. www.myclientisa.com. You can find the audiobook version, paperback version, ebook version, and I think the hard copy version is coming out soon. If you ever dealt with a nightmare client, a toxic, difficult, or a cunt client, late payments, scope creep, disrespect, or someone trying to break your soul, this book, I guarantee you, is for you. My Client is a Cunt. It's out now. Find them all at www.myclientisa.com, and I will be sharing audio clips, which will be sharing that word. So then if you guys want to unfollow, this has to be shared. This has to get out to the industry. This is important. And besides, this is the real construction life.
My Client is a Cunt, the no bullshit guide to surviving difficult clients in construction, by Antonio Zeffirino. Warning, this book does not hold back. The word cunt is used repeatedly, 477 times to be exact, to call out behavior, express frustration, and deliver the blunt truths of working in construction. If strong language offends you, or if you prefer a more sanitized read, this book may not be for you. The stories, scenarios, and examples shared in this book are drawn from actual conversations and real-life experiences on job sites and projects. These are not hypothetical situations. They happen. And they shape the lessons, strategies, and no-nonsense advice you're about to read. Proceed with caution and maybe a hard head. Disclaimer, this book is my unfiltered take as a contractor who's been in the trenches, dealing with cunt clients, cunt suppliers, and a cunt system that often screws the little guy. It's packed with lessons I've learned the hard way, meant to educate, inform, and maybe even light a fire under you. But I'm no suit-wearing accountant, lawyer, or tax guru. The strategies, rants, and ideas here work for me and plenty of other tradespeople I know, but they're not professional advice. Before you make moves on taxes, contracts, or financial planning, talk to a qualified pro who knows the ropes. Construction's tough enough without gambling on untested advice. Use this book at your own risk. Your results may vary, and I'm not liable if things go sideways. Build smart, protect your ass, and keep swinging. Disclaimer, no real names have been used in this book. Any resemblance to actual events, locales, businesses, or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental. The characters, situations, and stories are for illustrative, educational, and entertaining purposes only. I want to extend the special thanks to J.R. Co., the creative force behind the cover design of this book. Their vision, artistry, and attention to detail capture the essence, edge, and energy of My Client is a Cunt, giving it a bold and unmistakable presence. Without their creativity and dedication, this book wouldn't stand out on the shelf or online the way it does. Thank you, J.R. Co., for bringing this project to life with style and impact. I want to extend a special thanks to John Grace, the book editor and formatter, whose expertise and attention to detail brought this book to life. Her work ensured that the stories, lessons, and insights in these pages are presented clearly and professionally. Without her dedication, this project wouldn't have come together as it did. Thank you, Grace, for your invaluable contributions. My Client is a Cunt, all rights reserved. Copyright 2025. Printed ebook audio. You can reach out at www.myclientisa.com. Send us any feedback at info@myclientisa.com. Author's 2 cents. My Client is a Cunt, by Antonio Zeffirino. In the rough and tumble world of construction, whether you're just starting or you've got decades of battle scars, one thing is for sure. Even the best client can turn into a cunt overnight. My Client is a Cunt is a no-bullshit guide that lays bare and brutal reality of dealing with cunt clients. Those who use money and power to fuck with your work, your crew, and your sanity. This isn't about hurt feelings. It's about taking control and protecting your livelihood. I've been through the grinder, dealing with cunt clients and cunt suppliers, and now I'm spilling the raw, unfiltered stories straight from the job site. Gritty moments from progress meetings, tense standoffs on site, and battles at supplier counter. These aren't just tales to vent, they're hard-earned lessons from the front lines, breaking down what happened, how I handled it, and what I do differently to save you the same headaches. Every contractor, from carpenters to masons, will find their own battles in these pages. I'll teach you how to spot a cunt client before you tank your business, before they drain your energy, fuck up your schedule, or stiff you on payments. Whether they're obsessing over every screw, dodging invoices, or acting like their social media content makes them an expert. My Client is a Cunt gives you the tools to shut it down. From the cunt client who thinks that can bully you into free work to the one who treats your crew like shit. I've got the playbook to keep you in charge. But this isn't just about surviving cunt clients. It's about coming out on top. I dive into the real driver behind the bullshit, money and the power it buys. You'll learn how to shield your business legally, financially, and mentally with rock-solid boundaries, unshakable pricing, and strategies to turn your skills into wealth without losing your mind. I'll show you how to work smarter for yourself. My Client is a Cunt isn't just a bitch session. It's a hard-hitting guide forged in the chaos of real construction projects. It's for every contractor who's been walked over and is ready to take back control. With this book, you'll learn how to make your business work for you, not some cunt client calling the shots. Your skills built their dreams, now let them build your empire. For every cunt who tried to break you, the hard lessons, the brutal stories, and the truths no one else will dare to tell you. AZ. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Who is the Cunt? Chapter 2, Money is the Weapon and You are the Target. Chapter 3, When Construction Gets Litigious. Chapter 4, The Dumbest in the Room are the Cunt Clients. Chapter 5, Protecting Your Business. Chapter 6, The Value of Your Skills. Chapter 7, Firing Your Cunt Client. Chapter 8, Your Mental State. Chapter 9, Suppliers Can Be Cunts Too. Chapter 10, Life, Cunts, and the Moments That Matter. The Coffee Connoisseur Cunt. It was a crisp Monday morning, and the crew had already been on site for 3 hours. Working hard, sweating, and making progress. But for the past 10 minutes, they've taken a well-earned break. Gathered around a small coffee table, they were savoring the flavor and aroma of a rich, perfectly brewed Italian espresso. The sun was shining, the air was fresh, and for a brief moment, everything felt just right. The ritual of a good coffee, something small yet luxurious amidst the chaos of construction, offered a calming breath before the storm of the workday resumed. Then, she walked in, the cunt client, her heels clicking sharply on the plywood subfloor as she made her way into the job site. Arriving fashionably late, as always, she didn't even wait for a greeting before launching into her tirade. "I just don't understand how anyone can drink this stuff," she said, her voice loud and dripping with judgment as she waved dismissively at the coffee mugs. "It tastes disgusting. And don't even get me started on espresso. It's just so bitter." The crew exchanged glances. The peace shattered. The moment of calm evaporating as quickly as it arrived. But she wasn't done. Oh no. The cunt client felt compelled to take it even further. "You know," she continued, as if she were the undisputed expert on everything. "I can never have another coffee again, but I do love a good coffee enema a few times a year. It's incredible. You wouldn't believe how amazing I feel afterward." The crew just stared. The words hung in the air like an unbearable stench. The awkwardness of the moment was palpable. A collective sigh of disbelief passed through the skilled workers as they looked at each other, some in shock, others in disgust. Without another word, they gathered their tools and walked off the job site, leaving the cunt client standing there, her ridiculous statements lingering in the air like a fog. They would never look at her the same way again. As the sound of the boots faded away, the cunt client stood alone, completely unaware that she just alienated the very people who made her dream home a reality. From that day on, the crew's respect for her was gone, replaced by the kind of contempt that only someone lacking self-awareness could truly earn. Chapter 1. Who is the Cunt? Cunt? Kent, noun, vulgar, slang, a woman's genitals, North American English, offensive, a term of abuse for a woman, mainly British English, an unpleasant or stupid person, Australian English, neutral or even positive for a person, used playfully or familiarly, origin, Middle English, of Germanic roots, related to Norwegian and Swedish, kunta, and Middle Low German, Middle Dutch, and Danish Kante. There's a lesser-known moment in the 1965 film The Sound of Music that's become legendary among certain circles. Captain Von Trapp, with his distinctively English-accented speech, asks Maria, "What is it, dear? What is it you can't face?" Or so the script reads. But if you listen closely, it sounds as though he's saying, "What is it, dear? What is it you can't face?" It's simply a matter of accent and clip pronunciation. No one actually says the word cunt in the film, but to a listener, it provides a surprising shock. The wholesome, family-friendly Julie Andrews movie suddenly contains a hidden expletive. It's a reminder that, even in the most innocent context, a word like cunt can sneak in, whether by accident, fate, or sheer phonetic coincidence. Etymology and historical origins of cunt. The word is a linguistic artifact, its history reflecting how language, power, and gender have intertwined over the centuries, from its neutral beginnings to its transformation into one of the most potent insults in English. Cunt reveals the way society shapes words, and how words, in turn, shape society. Its evolution isn't just a linguistic journey, it mirrors cultural attitudes, power dynamics, and the ongoing struggle over the control of language's meaning. Ancient roots, a neutral beginning. The origins of cunt are surprisingly uncontroversial, emerging from Proto-Germanic cunten and traceable to Proto-Indo-European roots like gen or gwen, meaning woman or birth. The word appeared in Old English as a straightforward term for female genitalia. It was as clinical as penis or breasts, carrying no more weight than other anatomical terms. In Old Norse, it appeared as kunta, and in Middle Dutch as kante, both used matter-of-factly in medical texts, legal documents, and even casual speech. In these early Germanic and Nordic languages, cunt was a functional term, not scandalous, rooted in the reality of a human body, free from shame or moral judgment. This neutrality extended to cultural contexts where the body wasn't yet a battleground for social control. In medieval Europe, for instance, cunt appeared in anatomical texts and even place names, like Grobcunt Lane in the 13th century England, a street name referring to sex work, free of the moral outrage later generations would associate with it. At this time, the word was descriptive, not derogatory, reflecting a world where human anatomy was discussed openly and pragmatically, from description to degradation. The transformation of cunt began as a communal attitudes towards sexuality, gender, and modesty hardened. By the 16th century, Europe's cultural landscape had shifted. The rise of religious puritanism, stricter gender roles, and a growing obsession with controlling women's bodies reshaped language. Terms tied to female anatomy, particularly cunt, began to take on a new, more loaded meanings. No longer just a neutral reference, cunt grew to carry a crude, vulgar edge, increasingly tied to shame and degradation. This shift wasn't accidental. As patriarchal structures solidified, women's bodies became political symbols, either virtuous or sinful, to be controlled. Language mirrored this change. To call a woman a cunt was no longer merely anatomical. It was an intentional act of dehumanization, reducing her to just her body and stripping her of anatomy. By the 18th and 19th centuries, cunt had fully morphed into a weapon, a slur hurled to demean, to assert dominance, and to reinforce a social order that subjugated women. The power of the word came not from its dictionary definition, but from its capacity to wound, erase dignity, and perpetuate an imbalanced power dynamic. Reclamation and resistance. Yet, the story of cunt is far from static. In the 20th and 21st centuries, especially with feminist and progressive circles, the word has undergone a radical redefinition. For some, particularly women, cunt has been reclaimed as a symbol of empowerment. By embracing the term, they strip it of its misogynistic sting, turning a weapon into a badge of strength. In this context, cunt becomes an act of defiance, a refusal to let a word historically used to degrade define their worth. Writers, activists, and artists have wielded it to challenge patriarchal norms, transforming it to a rallying cry for an autonomy and unapologetic identity. From zines to poetry slams, cunt has been repurposed to celebrate rather than shame. This reclamation, however, is not universal. For many, cunt remains a deeply charged slur, its historical baggage too heavy to reframe. When used with malice, it still cuts deep, reinforcing gendered oppression and evoking rage, pain, or humiliation. Its dual existence, as both a reclaimed emblem and as a persistent insult, makes cunt a linguistic tightrope. Context is everything. Who says it, to whom, and why determines whether it empowers or destroys. A tool of oppression. What sets cunt apart is its unrelenting potency. While fuck has softened into a catch-all for frustration or affection, cunt refuses to soften. It demands recognition, not for morality's sake, but simply because of its force. On a job site, where fuck is thrown around casually, cunt still halts conversations. It's not just an insult, it's a verdict, a total dismissal of worth. To call someone a cunt is to erase them, to assert dominance with no room for negotiation. The immediacy and power of cunt make it the most formidable insult in the English language. Its evolution from a neutral term to a weapon of oppression and now to a contested symbol of empowerment mirrors larger battles over gender, power, and language itself. Throughout history, cunt has been more than just a word. It's been a battleground, a reflection of society's shifting values, and a reminder of the enduring power of language to wound, reshape, and define. The power of cunt in modern times. In the raw, unfiltered world of language, the word cunt stands alone. Hurling it at a woman with malice isn't just criticism, it's an assault on humanity. For those on the receiving end, it carries rage, shame, and frustration, leaving emotional scars. On a job site, a contractor might grit their teeth when a difficult client earns the label. Its sting often feels justified, even if unspoken. Its power now lies in who controls it. When yielded intentionally, it signifies resilience, humor, or authority. When used carelessly, it still wounds. Context is everything. Its impact is strategic, from comedians using shock and humor to movies emphasizing contempt to contractors marking their boundaries on a job site. The word cuts through the noise and demands recognition. Cunt is a paradox, both a slur and a symbol, a wound and a weapon. Its power lies in its ability to straddle extremes, embodying historical oppression while offering radical empowerment. Whether tearing down or building up, it remains one of the language's sharpest tools, revealing fault lines in respect, power, and human interaction wherever it appears. Here's the reality. In the world of construction, you're bound to encounter them. Cunts. Not the ones you read about in textbooks, the real ones. The cunt clients who undercut your work, the cunt suppliers who fail to deliver, the cunt co-workers who suck the life out of you. They're everywhere, and they all share one thing in common. They challenge your patience, your skill, and your sanity. Types of cunts on the job site. Construction is a battlefield, and like any battlefield, you face a wide range of adversaries. In our world, we call them cunts, each with their own distinct style, energy, and level of destruction. Recognizing them is key to survival. The cunt client. This one shows up late on site, demands the impossible, and thinks their opinion outweighs years of trade experience. They micromanage, belittle, and exist solely to test your patience. Whether loud or subtle, their effect is the same. They drain your energy. The cunt supplier. Invisible until disaster strikes. They promise materials, show up late, send the wrong items, or misplace your order entirely. A cunt supplier doesn't just inconvenience, they can shut down a project completely. The cunt co-worker, also known as the crew menace. Sometimes they're lazy, sometimes a know-it-all, or someone who actively undermines your work to make themselves look better. They test relationships and patience alike. The cunt task, not a person, but a job itself. Certain tasks demand sweat, frustration, and tears. These cunts are physically grueling, mentally taxing, and sometimes morally questionable. They make you wonder why you ever signed the contract. The cunt regulator. Inspectors, safety officers, examiners, and bureaucratic roadblocks. Their rules are sometimes arbitrary, sometimes life-saving, but always energy-sapping. The cunt surprise. The wild card. They show up unexpectedly. Weather issues, sudden decisions from a cunt client, or mysterious site damages. These are the pure chaos generators. The cunt survival tip. Recognize the type of cunt early. Name it, categorize it, and redirect your energy towards things you can control. Sometimes, the best move is to laugh it off. Sometimes, it's to push back. And sometimes, it's to walk away. Because in construction, surviving the cunts is just part of swinging the hammer. One cunt client I dealt with would show up around 10 a.m., the earliest she could manage, acting as though her time was far more valuable than that of the crew, who had already been working diligently since 7 a.m. And every time without fail, she'd make sure to remind everyone on site just how much more important her career was than yours. She'd boast about how much she earned, how she commanded many men in her role, and then belittled the tradespeople. She'd loudly declare for everyone to hear that she didn't respect anyone who cleaned floors for a living, implying that their hard, skilled work was somehow beneath her. To me, that's not just a disrespectful client, that's a cunt client with a capital C. She didn't see the trades as a legitimate career, nor did she respect the people who built, fixed, and made everything around her possible. This is the kind of cunt client who will always push boundaries, devalue your work, and try to make you feel small, all while thinking they are somehow above it all.
A cunt client like this will drain your energy and rob you of the respect you've earned in the industry. As the general contractor, I could read the tradespeople like an open blueprint. They despised her. The moment that cunt client showed up, usually midday or later, the entire job site shifted. Tools slowed, heads shook, and the energy shifted from focused to tense. Everyone knew it was her show, and everyone knew it wasn't worth playing along. The tradespeople, who normally took pride in their work, began to lose motivation for the project. You can sense the frustration building in their demeanor. It was palpable. One tradesperson in particular, a seasoned and highly respected individual, was visibly upset by the cunt client's actions and words. I watched as he clenched his jaw, his body language stiffening with every snide comment she made. But as soon as she left the site, there was a shift. The crew immediately got back to work, and I pulled the trade aside. Sensing his frustration, I reminded him that while the job site truly doesn't feel like home until the skilled tradespeople have handed it over, the true craftsmanship remains in their hands. That cunt client might have her career, her status, and her paycheck, but I told him that cunt can have all the money she wants, belittle us, and do whatever makes her feel superior. But there's one thing she'll never be able to do. What's that, you ask? I paused, looked him in the eye. She'll never be able to build a home or perfect the skills you've spent years mastering. Never. The look in his eyes softened, and you could see that it was sinking in. The truth is, a cunt client can demand whatever they want, push us around, and question our abilities. But at the end of the day, they aren't the ones who create the magic. The work we do, the skills we've honed over the years of hard labor, is something they can never replicate. No amount of money or prestige can give them that. You have to earn those skills. They can't build what we build, and they can't do what we do. In that moment, the tradesperson straightened up and got back to work with a renewed sense of purpose. Because, in the end, we are the ones who make a house a home, and a cunt client can never take that away from us. Not all clients are created equal. Some are dream clients, the ones who make your job feel effortless. These clients respect your expertise, trust your decisions, and understand that building a house, renovating a space, or managing a complex project requires time, skill, and money. They don't waste your time questioning every detail or haggling over prices because they recognize the immense value you bring. These are the clients who make the process smooth, allowing you to do your work without unnecessary distractions. At the end of the day, they pay their bills on time, respect the craft, and even express gratitude for a job well done. These clients turn a profit and leave you feeling accomplished. But then there are the others, the ones who will test your patience at every turn. These difficult clients take your hard work for granted, demanding more and more while offering little to no appreciation in return. They don't understand the complexities of construction, but think they know it all. They micromanage, second-guess every decision, and push you to the point where you question not just the project, but your entire career. These toxic clients, the ones who push every boundary, expect more than what's reasonable and take advantage of your expertise, are the ones we're referring to when we say, my client is a cunt. And no, it's not about gender. It's about attitude. It's about how they approach you, the skilled tradesperson, and how they view the relationship between themselves as the payer and you as the worker. It's about disrespect, entitlement, and the belief that, because they're paying for the work, they have the right to treat you however they please. Let's be clear, the word cunt isn't just a curse here. It's a behavior label. It's used for the difficult client who crosses the line from demanding to downright unreasonable. A cunt client doesn't see themselves as just a customer. They act like the boss we all dread, forgetting one crucial fact: you are the expert. They might try to take control, dictate your craft, and micromanage every detail, but make no mistake, they're not the boss. They're the client, and there's a huge difference. If they want to earn their cunt stripes based on how they treat skilled tradespeople, you should respond in kind, firmly, professionally, and on your terms. Your time, your skills, and your mental health are non-negotiable, and no amount of money justifies letting someone strip them away. It's the disregard for your expertise and the expectation that you're simply there to serve them, no matter what. The worst clients aren't always the ones who yell and scream. More often, they're the ones who quietly undermine you, erode your confidence, and test your limits with passive-aggressive behavior. They demand perfection, but offer you less than their bare minimum. They challenge every cost breakdown, continuously ask for just one more thing, and pull you into a spiral of revisions and scope creep. Every time you try to set a boundary, they come back with excuses or justifications to make you break your own rules. At the core of it all is a fundamental lack of respect, not just for your work, but for you as a person. Cunt on the job site. There's a special type of cunt you only meet in construction. Not the polite, office-friendly kind, but the raw, real-world, dirt-under-your-nails, coffee-spilling, hard-hat-wearing kind. They're everywhere. Clients, suppliers, subcontractors, inspectors, and sometimes all four at once. If you worked on enough job sites, you know them by sight, by sound, and by the way they make your blood pressure rise without even moving a muscle. Some cunts come dressed for the role. The toxic client who shows up expecting the world but respecting nothing, that's a real cunt. They waltz in hours after the cruise started, perfectly coiffed, announcing how important they are, all while sneering at the people who actually do the work. Every syllable drips with contempt. You just nod, hide your frustration, and mentally file them under future chaos. Other cunts are sneaky. They arrive with a smile, pretending to understand, and then quietly sabotage everything. A supplier who forgets your order for the third time this month. A designer who keeps changing specs without telling everyone. Or a building inspector whose mood determines whether you finish the day or finish at all. These cunts are invisible until they can no longer be ignored. Then there are the grueling job cunts. Tasks so impossible they seem designed to make you quit. A structural beam that won't line up. A wall that won't stay level. A plumbing fixture that defies gravity. You curse them. You fight them. You sweat over them. And you call them exactly what they are. Cunts. And there's a strange satisfaction in naming them. It's a release, a punctuation on frustration, a mental handshake with every tradesperson who ever sweated over the same absurd problem. But here's the thing, not every cunt is evil. On a hard day, a well-timed, what a cunt of a job, becomes a joke among the crew. It's camaraderie. It's shared knowledge that we've all survived another absurd, exhausting, borderline impossible task. It's the glue that holds the site together when chaos threatens to pull it apart. And the people, some cunts, surprisingly, are human and even lovable in retrospect. Chris Ramon, a tradesperson I once worked with, had zero tolerance for nonsense. If a client, task, or coworker wasn't adding value to his day, he'd leave mid-conversation and find somewhere better to be. Chris taught me that recognizing a cunt isn't just about venting, it's about survival. It's about preserving your energy, sanity, and your love for the craft itself. Construction teaches you quickly that cunts are unavoidable. You can't escape them. The key is learning which ones deserve your energy and which don't. Some are just temporary nuisances. Others will make you question the project, the job, or even your entire career. And some, thankfully, disappear into the ether after a day or two, leaving behind only the memory and a lesson learned. Once you've been in the game for a while, you start seeing double, even triple, the cunts around you. You learn to ignore the shouting and focus on what actually matters, the build itself, the crew you trust, and those rare moments of true satisfaction when a project finally comes together, despite the chaos. You'll smile when a cunt client throws a tantrum, roll your eyes when a cunt subcontractor messes up, and laugh when a job proves itself a cunt beyond belief. Because in construction, recognizing the cunt doesn't make you bitter, it sharpens you. It keeps you focused, grounded, and alive. So when you step onto a job site tomorrow, expect cunts. Expect them to be loud, unreasonable, and sometimes unrecognizable. Every person, every task, every obstacle has its cunt potential. And surviving them all is what makes you a real blue-collar worker, a real tradesperson, a real general contractor. In construction, the cunt is constant, but so is the pride, the work, and the people who keep building, no matter how many cunts show up to make it harder. Cunt as a mark of grit in the blue-collar life. Construction is where sweat, steel, and relentless deadlines collide, and the word cunt carries a raw, unpolished weight that mirrors the job itself. It's not just a slur. It's a linguistic hammer wielding to express the frustration, resilience, and unyielding grit of blue-collar life. On a job site, where the air is thick with dust and the pressure to deliver never lets up, cunt becomes more than an insult. It's a badge of survival, a shorthand for intensity of the work, the long hours, and the sheer will it takes to push through brutal conditions, impossible clients, and the chaos of a project gone sideways. For construction workers, carpenters framing in the pouring rain, masons laying brick through a heat wave, or electricians troubleshooting at midnight, cunt captures the raw emotion of life defined by hard labor. When a foreman mutters, "This job's a cunt," it's not just about a snap beam or delayed shipment. It's a visceral release, a way to name the relentless grind of a task that tests every ounce of your skill and patience. The word carries the weight of 12-hour shifts, frozen fingers, and clients like the cunt from earlier, whose condescension stings worse than a misplaced nail. It's a word that doesn't flinch, just like the workers who wield it. The power of cunt in construction lies in its ability to channel raw emotion into something tangible. Workers don't have the luxury of long-winded venting. A single sharp word does the job. When a pipe bursts mid-pour, flooding the foundation, or a client demands a last-minute redesign, cunt captures the frustration in a way that damn or fuck can't match. It's not just intensity, it's precision. It names the struggle without diluting it, reflecting the no-nonsense ethos of a trade where results matter more than feelings. A plumber might spit the word after wrestling with cast iron pipe all morning, not because they're defeated, but because it fuels the grit to keep going. On the job site, cunt is more about shared struggle. Tradespeople, Barry wiring a panel, Ziggy framing a roof, or Danny laying a perfect brick line, use it to bond over the chaos they face together. It's a way to say, this sucks, but we've got this. When a crew laughs after someone calls a busted crane a proper cunt, it's not just defiance, it's a reclaiming of power, a refusal to let the job break them. In these moments, cunt becomes part of the language of resilience, a verbal middle finger to the challenges that define the trade. Yet, the word's edge cuts both ways. Its intensity can alienate, especially when aimed at a person rather than a task. A client who micromanages or belittles the crew, like the coffee enema cunt, might earn the label behind closed doors, but using it directly risks escalating tensions. In blue-collar life, where respect is earned through skill and hustle, cunt is a loaded gun, best fired at inanimate frustrations, not people, to keep the site running smoothly. Still, its presence in the lexicon underscores the industry's unfiltered honesty. Construction doesn't reward pretense, neither does its language. In modern blue-collar culture, cunt is a mark of authenticity. It's not a word for boardrooms or polished pitches. It's for the trenches, where workers face the raw reality of building the world brick by brick. It captures the sweat, the strain, and the stubborn pride of a trade that demands everything and gives back just as much. Negative connotations in construction. A cunt client doesn't just ask for unreasonable things, they insist on them. It's not just about expecting high-quality work, it's about demanding it on their terms, on their schedule, and for a fraction of what it's actually worth. These clients are masters at creating unrealistic expectations, often fueled by limited knowledge and a refusal to grasp the true complexities of construction. What they fail to recognize is that your expertise has been built over years, decades, perhaps of hands-on experience. The difficult client doesn't respect this knowledge or the time it takes to execute skilled work. They're quick to dismiss your professional judgment and replace it with their own unfounded expertise, all while believing their opinion holds more value than the years of learning you've invested in your craft. The toxic client is particularly dangerous because they are rarely open to compromise. Instead of viewing you as a professional who understands the complexities of the project, they reduce you to a task executor, someone who simply follows orders. This is clear from the very first meeting. They come in with an idea of how things should go, but it's not based on any realistic understanding of the work. It's grounded in their preconceived notions of what a project should cost and what they think it should look like. Often, these assumptions come from watching a few reality TV shows or scrolling through social media. They may even point to something they've seen online and demand that you replicate it, without acknowledging that real-life construction is far more complex than what glossy magazines or DIY tutorials portray. This lack of respect for your expertise and craft is at the core of their behavior. The toxic client fundamentally believes that their self-perceived understanding of the project is just as valid, if not more valid, than your professional knowledge. They're quick to suggest changes and challenge every price, but barely bother to understand why costs rise when quality increases. Their mantra, everything should be cheaper, faster, and according to them, better. They might offer suggestions about color choices, materials, or even construction techniques, all based on half-baked knowledge of an article they read online. In their eyes, your experience means nothing compared to their research, and they fail to see what they want is often impractical, impossible, incompatible with their budget. This attitude often leads a cunt client to try cutting corners wherever they can. They'll push for discounts, aggressively negotiate every cent, and demand shortcuts to meet their financial expectations. Their focus isn't on building something that lasts or adding real value to the project. It's on saving money wherever possible, often at the expense of quality, safety, and long-term viability. The cunt client's refusal to accept that quality work requires quality resources is one of their most frustrating traits. They'll argue about your price breakdown, demanding to know why it costs, what it does, without understanding the work that goes into the project. They might point to cheaper alternatives they've seen elsewhere or claim so-and-so did it for less, completely disregarding the differences in skill, experience, and attention to detail. This mindset often leads to endless back and forth over pricing, where you find yourself justifying every single dollar, not because your pricing is wrong, but because they refuse to recognize the value in what you're offering. They don't grasp that your price reflects the time, labor, and materials necessary to get the job done to the best of your brand. When things go wrong, they'll be quick to point fingers, blaming you for not meeting their impossible expectations. They refuse to acknowledge that their lack of understanding of their attempts to undermine the process contributed to the problem. Ultimately, the difficult client views the contractor as expendable, someone who can be manipulated, ignored, or dismissed when no longer needed. They may even question your expertise or suggest that you're trying to rip them off, even though they're the ones creating problems by refusing to respect the boundaries of the project. This mentally makes them exhausting to work with, as every interaction becomes a battle to assert your authority and remind them that the construction isn't just about what they think should happen. It's about practical realities that take years of experience to navigate. In the end, the cunt client is defined not by their personality, but by their attitude toward the work and the professionals doing it. Knowing your cunt client. When you first meet a potential client, you're not just entering a business agreement. You're stepping into a psychological landscape that can provide crucial insights into how the project and your working relationship will unfold. The real work doesn't begin when you break ground on the project. It begins the moment you step into the room with your client. What a client says is important, but how they say it matters even more. Their tone, body language, and subtle cues during this initial meeting can reveal everything you need to know about who they are and, more importantly, the type of client they will be. Start by paying close attention to their communication style. Are they speaking clearly and directly? Or are they vague, constantly shifting the conversation and avoiding straightforward answers? A cunt client often evades commitment, offering unclear descriptions of what they want or avoiding specific questions about timelines, budgets, or project vision. A lack of clarity early on is a major red flag. It often signals that they haven't thought things through, or worse, that they're hiding something, like an unwillingness to commit to a fair budget. Even more revealing is how they communicate non-verbally. Body language speaks volumes. Do they make direct eye contact, or do they avoid looking at you when discussing specifics? A client who can't maintain eye contact often has something to hide. In construction, this can indicate they're withholding key details, whether about their expectations, past experiences, or financial situation. A cunt client may become uncomfortable when discussing financial details like payment schedules or project scope and may avoid meaningful conversation about money. Alternatively, they might try to downplay what they're willing to invest or steer the conversation toward pushing for lower costs or shortcuts. This often signals they're already scheming to get more value for less money. Another critical factor in understanding a client's psyche is how they treat others around them. This can be especially telling. Watch how they interact with their spouse, partner, or family members in a casual setting. Are they dismissive, controlling, or condescending? If they speak to their partner with disrespect or belittle others in their circle, there's a good chance they'll treat you similarly once the project begins. A difficult client might interrupt or cut off their partner when making decisions, signaling a lack of respect for others' opinions. Sometimes these signs of control manifest subtly, such as when they insist on taking charge of decisions that should be made collaboratively, or when they disregard your advice entirely. Watch for the client who seems to be trying to win every argument, whether it's about the smallest detail or the biggest issue. This mindset often indicates someone who's more interested in proving they're right than finding a solution, which makes them prone to becoming difficult when things inevitably go wrong. As a contractor, you need to be a psychological observer from the moment you engage with the client. The goal isn't to judge them immediately, but to assess whether something beneath the surface might indicate trouble ahead. Listen carefully when they talk about past projects. Have they hired cheap contractors in the past and failed to pay them in full? Are they quick to blame previous workers, hinting at unresolved disputes? A cunt client often leaves a trail of broken relationships with past contractors or vendors, typically due to their refusal to meet fair terms or their inability to recognize quality work. In these conversations, ask open-ended questions about their previous experiences with contractors. The cunt client will often reveal themselves when they start venting about other workers, especially if they made sweeping generalizations about all contractors or bring up legal or financial issues from past projects. Have they ever been involved in any legal disputes, like withholding payment or breach of contract? Have they filed for bankruptcy, or do they have a history of financial instability? If they've been down this road before, they are likely to take the same destructive path again. A client who consistently blames others is deflecting responsibility for their own shortcomings or unrealistic expectations. This behavior can continue into the current project, and it's crucial to recognize it early. You also need to assess their ability to make decisions. A cunt client often drags their feet when it comes to making final calls, stalling on important details and frequently changing their mind. This indecisiveness is a form of control. It forces you into a position where you're waiting for them to make up their mind while the project stalls. A client who can't make decisions or refuses to give clear answers will almost certainly drag out the project timeline and add unnecessary stress. The more you observe, the more you'll spot patterns that help identify red flags early. A cunt client often displays several common behaviors: evasiveness, disrespect for others, financial instability, and a lack of respect of your expertise. They tend to be manipulative, controlling, and prioritize their own opinions over your professional advice. Information is power. In today's world, information isn't just power, it's a crucial tool for success. As a contractor, understanding who you're working with before the project begins is essential for maintaining your peace of mind, protecting your bottom line, and ensuring the job runs smoothly. Thanks to technology, gaining valuable insights into your potential client's behavior, financial history, and professional reputation has never been easier. These tools allow you to make informed decisions before setting foot on the job site, helping to reduce risks and prepare you for any challenges that may come your way. Search engines and social media. Start with the basics, a simple Google search. It's the quickest way to get an overview of a potential client's history. Don't just stick to their business website. Search for mentions of their name in articles, news stories, or reviews. Are there any red flags like legal disputes, controversies, or financial issues? Pay attention to how they're talked about online. A quick scan of a few search results can reveal a lot about their credibility and how they've interacted with other businesses. But don't stop at Google. Social media platforms like Facebook, X, LinkedIn, TikTok, and Instagram can give you deeper insights into your client's personality and interests. LinkedIn will show you their professional background, but it'll also give you a glimpse of how they present themselves in a work environment. Facebook or X can offer a more personal look. How do they engage with others? Are they respectful, or do they often express frustration and negativity? What kind of content do they share? These behaviors can provide early warnings about how they might treat you during a project. Industry and reputation tools for contractors. Vetting clients before signing a contract is as crucial as checking materials or permits. The right tools can save you time, money, and major headaches by uncovering red flags early. Specialized apps are essential for contractors to research potential clients and assess their track records. Tools like BitClerk and Contractor Tools provide access to past project histories, highlighting any disputes, late payments, or problematic relationships with other contractors. Platforms like HomeAdvisor and Angie's List offer reviews from both contractors and clients, shedding light on how the client treats others and whether they constantly honor agreements. For industry-specific data, the Blue Book Building and Construction Network is indispensable. This comprehensive directory of contractors, subcontractors, and clients provides vital information on payment histories, reputation, and reliability, helping you identify clients who could cause delays or disputes. AI and predictive analytics. Artificial intelligence is revolutionizing how contractors vet clients. Tools like Clarity and Gong.io, widely used in sales and customer service, analyze conversations for tone, pacing, and emotional cues, giving contractors a sense of whether a client is transparent or evasive. Platforms like Clearbit and ZoomInfo leverage predictive analytics to create detailed client profiles based on publicly available data, helping contractors assess a client's potential cooperation in financial and decision-making matters. Automation platforms like Zapier and IFTTT allow contractors to consolidate multiple data sources into a single dashboard. For instance, you can aggregate client reviews, social media activity, and public court records into one comprehensive report, providing a clearer picture of a client without the hassle of manually sifting through multiple platforms. By combining these tools, review platforms, scenario-based testing, AI insights, real-time monitoring, and automation, contractors can make smarter, data-driven decisions, reduce risk, and collaborate with clients who truly respect both the craft and the contract. Scenario-based client testing. Once you've gathered background information, testing a client's response to hypothetical scenarios can provide valuable insight into how they handle stress, money, and problem solving. For instance, imagine we encounter an unexpected $500 increase in costs during the project. How would you prefer to handle it? Their response will offer a glimpse into their problem-solving approach. Are they practical and solution-oriented, or do they become defensive and shift blame? Likewise, asking early questions about payment preferences can reveal financial reliability. Clients who hesitate to make upfront payments or avoid standard payment terms might be signaling cash flow problems or a lack of commitment to the project. One last word about cunt. Before we wrap up, one final nod to the word cunt. And yes, this might offend, but if you made it this far, I trust your threshold is solid. It was a young trade on site, fresh to the game, who taught me that even a word as loaded as cunt has many measurements. You've probably heard the phrase a cunt hair, used to describe cutting material by a tiny amount, a margin so fine it's almost imperceptible. Well, this young gun leaned in, dead serious, and asked, is that a black, Asian, or white cunt hair? I paused and thought to myself, they were right. There's a subtle difference in thickness and texture, and that can make all the difference in a tight measurement. It was crude, funny, and surprisingly accurate. In construction, as in life, details matter, even if the measurement comes from the most unlikely or inappropriate sources. The lesson, precision, observation, and a little irreverence goes a long way. Words carry weight, but sometimes even the most shocking words can teach you something, if you're paying attention.